WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Few singers have had as swift a rise and steep a descent as La Lupe, the queen of Latin soul in the 60s. At her peak, she was a regular at the Palladian Club and played Madison Square Garden. By the late 80s, she was on welfare with no fixed address. Music critic Milo Miles says a new 2-CD anthology is the first clear look at the entire range and power of the volatile La Lupe.
Llegamos en el amor, con el corazón contento, un paraíso de amor y de sol, todos cantamos diciendo...
The story of Guadalupe Victoria Yoli Raymond, known as La Lupe, is a poignant tale of a performer ruled by instinct and ecstasy. First, she was the right talent at the right place at the right time, and then all too soon she wasn't. A sensation who was cast aside by the music industry and is now all but forgotten. La Lupe has never been given as thorough and carefully selected a retrospective as Puro Teatro, and if there's any cultural justice, it should redeem her completely. She was much more than a wild woman. She was a whole gang of them at once. At first, she kept catching lucky breaks. Born in either 1936 or 1939 in southern Cuba, La Lupe won a singing contest and soon was performing with popular regional bands. She made two LPs under her own name in 1960 and 61. But Fidel Castro wasn't into a female singer who cackled and shouted, jiggled and twitched, tore at her clothes and hair, and sometimes threw shoes at her band. So she had to go, and eventually she wound up in New York. Some of La Lupe's eccentricity comes across by comparing the two versions of Fever on the anthology Puro Teatro. The second 1968 English-language version is the only one I knew. It's fun and forceful, though straightforward and a bit careful.
Never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. And when you put your arms around me, I get the fever that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. Ay. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight.
The first version from her 1960 Cuban debut album is, well, strange, and all about the singer. It's now my favorite Fever after Little Willie John's original.
Sabes cuánto yo te quiero, sabes cuánto siento por ti. Y cuando estás entre mis brazos, arde la fiebre hay muy dentro de mí, tú me das fiebre. Ay, cuando besas fiebre si me abrazas tú. Fever.
In the mid-60s, La Lupe caught another big break when one of the Mambo Kings, Tito Puente himself, decided her vocals were not screaming, but a way to catch the rising wave of soul shouts going on at the time. Puente also coached La Lupe into a still fiery but more sophisticated way to deliver boleros or ballads, as in Que Te Pedí, her first and biggest hit with Puente.
Pudo ser.
Sadly, La Lupe was not designed to be the chick singer change of pace for a big band. Ego conflicts and her increasing temper tantrums in 1968 led Puente to exchange La Lupe for the more conventionally professional and reliable Celia Cruz. With the firm support of Tico Records' Morris Levy, La Lupe went solo, and a revelation on Puro Teatro is how many styles she could make her own. Early in her career, she turned in several very convincing examples of Latin teen idol tunes. And for a long time, I assumed her career ran into trouble, partly because she couldn't find a way to go disco. But there's plenty of evidence on Puro Teatro she could light up modern funk.
Dicen que eres malo, pero yo te amo, te amo, te amo, pero no te amo. Dicen que eres malo, pero yo te amo, te amo, pero no te amo. Soporto que tengas una en cada esquina, que le eches piropos hasta tu madrina. Soporto que vivas en tu mala ley, porque tú en mi vida acabo, eres como un rey. Dicen que eres malo.
The hard truth is, La Lupe could not manage herself and could not hire anyone to do it for her. She fell out of favor at Tico Records after Levy sold the label. After 1978, she was dumped and never recorded regularly again. Plus, the fates decided she would now catch as many bad breaks as she had fortunate ones earlier. Struggling to support two children, she tussled with depression and drug addiction, injured her back in a fall and had to walk with a cane, and finally had a fire in her apartment and was left homeless. She died in 1992, almost as impoverished as when she was born. But her legacy is not a sad song. She left us treasures that we should savor, and that place her among the 60s queens of tough, Janis Joplin, Tina Turner, and La Lupe.
Music critic Milo Miles reviewed La Lupe, Puro Teatro. You can hear two tracks from the CD on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.